The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron, and we are back after a big weekend in Scottish football. Lots of drama in the League Cup to look forward to. And thank you very much for all your comments over the last week as well. We'll get to those in just a wee second. But how is Ewan Cameron this morning? You happy bear? Oh, sorry, I shouldn't say that, actually. You happy bunny? What?
Was that a Freudian
slip? No, that was a Freudian slip, I think you would call
you
that.
You didn't mean that.
I didn't mean that, but it's just... Are you a happy boy this morning? Happy man.
Right. Let me just start the podcast with this, and I'm going to make this crystal clear to you, and I know that producer John is hovering around the building somewhere because he's on with George Bowie at breakfast, and I expect him to turn up at some point during the show because he's a Falkirk fan. But I'm telling you now, and I'm telling producer John this, I'm pissed off. It was a rubbish weekend. My Twitter went into meltdown. Facebook went into meltdown. I've been getting it left, right and centre.
Right.
Okay. What I don't need during this podcast is for you to take things out of context.
Oh, not me.
Yeah, you.
Me.
To take things out of context and then report it as fact. I don't want you twisting my words or things that I've said in the past and then bringing it back up and regurgitating BS, which isn't quite true.
Okay.
Okay. Right. I'll have an opinion about the game versus Falkirk.
That's fine. No, right? I'm going to ask you for it. That is on the agenda today.
Okay.
Falkirk Hearts is on the agenda.
But listen, I know I've warned this before, right? And I know I've threatened this before, but I'm going to be serious with you right now. And I'm looking at you when I say this.
And I'm looking at you, Ewan.
If you push me.
Are those new glasses?
If you push me, I will walk out and there'll be no podcast today.
Right.
Stephen, I'm being genuinely serious here.
That's a lovely jumper you've got on today.
I don't need your sarcasm. I don't need you to be...
That is a lovely jumper.
Don't be patronising me. Don't be sarcastic.
Are they new glasses?
I'm just saying, let's do the podcast. Right. Let's talk about the games. I have my thoughts on the Heart situation and the result against Falkirk. Mm-hmm. What I don't need is for you and the prick who's been messaging me on Facebook all weekend.
Who?
John.
John who?
Producer John.
Oh, producer... He supports Falkirk, doesn't he? Oh, right enough. That was John last week. Right, okay.
And what's the boy's position at Falkirk, John Swinney? What's his position at the club?
John Swinney's the First Minister. Jamie Swinney is the CEO of Falkirk.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Jamie Swinney, what is he?
The CEO.
Well, he needs to start acting like a CEO.
How's that then?
Because he is, the way that he conducts his business and the way that he conducts himself on social media, but he acts like a football fan. You're the CEO of Falkirk Football Club. Start acting like one.
You said you were really impressed with him when he came on the podcast just a few weeks ago.
He was quote tweeting me and messaging me on Twitter acting like a 14-year-old. You're the CEO, Mr. Jamie Swinney. Start acting like one. So, pathetic.
So nothing against John Swinney then. It's Jamie Swinney.
Jamie Swinney, you're pathetic.
Right, okay. So we're not even 5 minutes into the podcast and you're having a go at the Falkirk CEO.
Did you see the messages he was sending me on Twitter?
I totally missed it all.
So unprofessional.
I've missed all the social media over the
weekend. I like Jamie Swinney when he was on the show, but I just thought his behaviour at the weekend was that of a Ned. A Falkirk Ned.
Okay.
Acting like producer John. Pathetic.
We will get to the... I know you're desperate to talk about the...
I'm not desperate to talk about anything, to be honest.
It's all you've spoken about so far.
I'm just warning you.
You've not spoken about anything else so far apart from
this. But the reason is, I'm warning you before we get there, just to mind what I've said.
I know, absolutely.
I've had to deal with a lot of pathetic, immature stuff on social media.
I'm just looking. We are definitely going to talk about the Falkirk Hearts game.
So I'm happy to talk about it.
You'll be able to have your say.
We talk about the games every single week, and I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay.
But as long as you don't take it out of context...
You know what they say?
What?
Happy wife, quiet life. So, exactly. How was your weekend?
I had a brilliant weekend. Apart from the football, it was a brilliant weekend. On Friday night, I was at the Edinburgh Festival. I went out to the Assembly Hall at the top of the mound. I went to see Jason Byrne.
Very funny man.
Who's the biggest selling, most popular comedian in Edinburgh Festival history. It was a brilliant show. He got me up on stage and he played with my balls.
Great stuff.
He did.
Did he?
Played with my testicles. I gave him permission to do so.
Right.
I'm not going to explain why I ended up...
No, I don't think it needs any explanation.
But I was on stage when it happened.
Oh, you've got your wee pouch this week again, in case people missed it last week. Show everyone your pouch. No, it is. So Ewan started bringing his iPad in, right, because he thinks he's, I don't know, Steve Jobs or something. And
He's already begun.
He's got a wee pouch that he brings it in. So for regular listeners to the podcast, you'll remember he had a wee bag and he used to storm off with his wee bag when he used to lose the quiz every week.
Honest to God, I just.
But now he's replaced. Like, he's got a bigger bag and it's too big to sort of show. But what he's got is he's got a wee iPad pouch. Show everyone the iPad pouch. No. It's nice. It's a nice colour. It's a nice red.
No, I'm not playing this game, Stephen.
What do you mean?
I'm not playing this game.
I'm just saying you've got a lovely pouch.
Yeah.
It was you talking about.
I was talking about the weekend, Stephen. You asked me about the weekend.
So how was your Saturday then? Let's move on to Saturday. How'd it go then?
I hadn't finished with Friday.
All right, you hadn't finished with Friday, right, okay.
So I went to see Jason Byrne. It was a brilliant night. I had a great night at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. I got the last train home with the Plonkers.
The Plonkers?
The last train. God almighty. There's a documentary there, Last Train Home. Some of the things you see. Some of the things you hear. Seeing partners screaming and shouting and arguing with each other and people that can't find their mouth when they're trying to eat cheese and chips. It was a sight to behold. I got home about 1:45 in the morning, had a cup of tea, some Jaffa cakes, and then went to my bed.
Right. And then how was your Saturday?
Well, I went onto the big Saturday football show.
How'd that go at the weekend? It was me, you, Steve Cowan was at a game, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker.
2:45 was good.
Yeah.
And then about 4:00 onwards, it was an absolute nightmare.
Did you not enjoy it after that?
Nah, I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy it.
I did see, like, because sometimes when you're doing the show, you forget what happens. And it was good that I got to relive some of those moments on social media over the weekend. Because it was quite funny.
I noticed there's quite a few videos on social media that got quite a few views and
hundreds of thousands of views, actually. Yeah, very popular.
Yeah, and lots of comments, some of which I don't agree with, and some of which I think people should evaluate their life.
Any film reviews? Or are you going to?
No, I'll go and play my music for the TV reviews, reviews. Play my music, please, Producer Michael.
Producer Michael, if you're there, it's the film 2000 theme. It's on the left hand side. Yeah. There you go.
Cheers.
There we are.
So my recommendation this week is on Netflix. It's a documentary. It came out last week. It's a 3-part documentary. It's American Murders, and it's a story of Lacey Peterson, who unfortunately lost her life along with her unborn child.
Okay.
And it's a story of that. Now, it was a story that caught the imagination of the people of the United States and worldwide. It was a huge story at the time.
I think I remember the name.
Yeah, you will do, because it was one of those stories that just caught the world's attention. And she went missing, and the body appeared months later. And I'm not going to give anything more away, but it's well worth watching, because what they do is they go back into the archives. And then, obviously, somebody did get found guilty for murdering Lacey and the unborn child. And you go through the court case, you speak to the parents who were involved, the family who were involved, the friends who were involved. And it's a fascinating documentary, so I'd highly recommend it.
You have had some cheery weekend. You really have. You really have.
I watched that yesterday to cheer me up.
Right, okay, let's get to your comments then.
Craig, Do we really have to?
Hate myself, but I love you and Cameron.
Thanks,
delighted
mate.
To have the podcast.
I needed that. I absolutely needed that, mate.
Kenny Lawson says, brilliant lads, I'm an overseas listener, new subscriber, no contest, best football podcast, bar none. Nailed it.
Might not be the day, mate.
On John's celebration last week. Remember, you were whipping John up into a frenzy when Dunfermline got beat by Falkirk, and then you let John come in and sing Amarillo, and you were joining in.
Wait. This was the point I was making at the start of the podcast. At what point? Your sensationalism,
mate.
Your headline-making words,
mate.
Is a pile of BS, and you know it. I whipped him up into a frenzy was the words you've just described
you
last week.
I didn't whip him up into anything. You were encouraging him. Wait till the chorus comes in, John. Wait till the chorus comes in.
I whipped him up into a frenzy. That's a lie.
You waved him into the studio.
Is that whipping him up into a frenzy?
You enabled him. Anyway, John's like that pish guy on holiday that just comes and sits with you because he's got no pals.
John's like
an amazingly accurate
description
of John. That's
who's
Sean.
That from?
Sean, thank you very much.
That
for
is
that.
So true.
Dave Trump says, is that what producer John honestly looks like? I always pictured him an overweight nerd with glasses in an Atari hoodie. So there you go. John Rell says, brilliant producer John. Oh, Stephen, your face is priceless. Well, listen.
Here's something else.
It's good to let the wee teams have a go now and again.
Can I tell you something? something else about producer John.
Yeah.
Who's obviously caught quite a few people's attention after his antics last week. Here's something else that you won't be surprised by. He loves wrestling. He knows everything about wrestling. If he was to go into Mastermind, his specialist subject would be WWE. That's how sad he is. That's how pathetic a life he has. Not only does he follow Falkirk and act like a 12-year-old, he watches the wrestling. Hacksaw Jim and Rowdy Piper and the Snake Guy.
You're probably pissing off quite a lot of our listeners. I think there's probably quite a big crossover between our listeners who like this and like wrestling.
Yeah, well, I'm allowed an opinion. I'm just telling you the kind of person that producer John is.
But we welcome,
that adds to what has already been said about him.
We welcome everyone. We welcome everyone.
I'm not saying we don't. Well, I'm just saying people have picked up on what they think of John. I'm just saying, well, you won't be surprised to hear that he loves the British Bulldogs.
How to pronounce Matesia? Remember, we heard that last week.
Who?
Matesia.
Oh, from Sweden.
From Sweden. It's actually Matthias, and the A is just his second name on the end. He was like, God damn it, guys. Come on.
Matthias. So that is Matthias. A kind of Swedish name. That makes sense.
Kind of. Right, let's look back on the week that just happened before we get to the weekend. Let's start with Europe. Mixed results for Scottish teams on the Tuesday. Rangers obviously crashing out the Champions League at Hampden to Dynamo Kiev. Obviously, Jeffy his sending off obviously changed the match. Philippe Clement called it the worst decision he's seen in 30 years of football.
I think he's right. I think it was an absolute shocker of
a terrible decision.
I actually got... Did you see the pictures of Clement approaching the referee at full time?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it looked like the referee was apologising, and he looked quite sheepish. It's like as if he might have known he made a mistake. And maybe he'd been told that in his ear by the VAR guys. By the way, mate, you've got that wrong. But once you've given the yellow card...
It was the yellow card, yeah, exactly.
That was a shocker of a decision. So I believe that if he doesn't get sent off, Rangers win that game. I genuinely believe that. But hey...
I thought it looked like two pretty poor teams.
Oh, no, they were poor.
I didn't think Dynamo Kiev were up too much.
I thought Rangers were just the better poor team and would have won it had Hefty stayed on.
Yeah. So Rangers out, they'll be in the Europa League. St Mirren also out.
Shame.
After getting beat by SK Brann. They did equalise. SK Brann are second in the Norwegian League, so they're pretty handy.
They're decent, but to go there and get to the 85th minute and your aggregate score level going to extra time and they concede two late goals, I think St Mirren... were a credit to themselves, to the club, to their fans. I thought they were very good in the first leg. Brann probably deserved to win it, but to go there and put in that kind of performance, well done to St Mirren. And they've got a taste for it now.
Yeah, I was going to say they've got a taste for it and they'll want more of that. So, St Mirren, sadly, out of Europe. However, the positive of the week was Kilmarnock going through against Tromso. Derek McInnes, after the first leg, I don't know if it was mind games or he truly believed it, that he thought that Tromso thought they were through already.
Tromso had that air about them as if, right, we've done our job here, we're going to do the business
and
in Norway.
That just seemed to fire up the entire Kilmarnock team and Derek McInnes as well. It looks like he's, Kilmarnock have sacrificed the domestic stuff.
To get through in Europe.
So it's going to be an absolutely massive couple of games against FC Copenhagen, who obviously were in the Champions League last season, but by all accounts are pretty poor.
Are they not like 10th in the league just
now? Yeah, they're having a pretty disastrous season. They only got through in penalties in the last round.
Against a team that I've never heard of.
Was it not?
You've never heard of them.
No, I have.
No, you haven't.
I have.
No, you have. Google them.
Was it not Banik Ostrava or something like that?
No, it wasn't. Because I know them. Google it.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It's not Ostrava, because I know them as a team. It's not, I thought it began with C. It's not Cluj or anything like that. It's something begin. The second word of the team it begins with C.
It was Banik. It was.
It wasn't.
It's Banik Ostrava. It was Banik Ostrava.
Can you look at that?
Look.
Oh, yeah.
Right, go away.
And they'd, look at that. They had more shots on target and everything.
Yeah. We did both predict Kilmarnock to go out last week, so they defied the odds.
I think most people would have thought that their time would have been up. It's just, I mean, I'm delighted for McInnes and I'm delighted for Kilmarnock.
I know.
It's just fantastic to see Kilmarnock
get to
play a final.
You have the most love-hate relationship with Derek McInnes. One week you think he's amazing, The next week you think he's a failure.
No, you're, see, oh my God.
A bottler. You've called him a bottler in the past as well.
In the past I did call him a bottler.
So listen, we're not going to get stuck into Kilmarnock too much just now because we have a Kilmarnock fan joining us a wee bit later on the show, so we'll talk a wee bit more about them then. But congratulations to them.
Stephen.
What?
You've just done what I asked you not to do 10 minutes ago.
I've not done anything.
You threw out some words there and then you were stopping me from giving you my opinion and to correct you because you want to leave it hanging that I'm not a fan of Derek McInnes, that I called him a bottler, etc., etc., etc.
Did you? No context! Did you call
you
him
just,
a...
Let me explain!
How can you be a fan of someone if you called them a bottler? How can you be a fan of someone? How can you have respect for someone if you call them a bottler?
Producer Michael, are you there?
Don't get him involved.
Right. No, I'm getting him involved. Right. See, when he starts throwing out inaccuracies without context, mm-hmm. I want you to pull his microphone down and let me explain the inaccuracies and the things that he's alleged that I've said. Now, let me explain what you've just said and what you've thrown out there and just left hanging for people who think that I'm some...
We've never got time.
Shut your face.
We don't have long.
I called Derek McInnes a bottler when he refused to take the Rangers job when it was offered to him because I thought he couldn't handle the pressure of working with a big club. I called him a bottler then. Right. And when it comes to hating on Derek McInnes and calling him a failure, I said no. I said Kilmarnock will fail this season in comparison to what they did last season. Yeah. I don't see...
So I think we've not got time for that, Ewan. So.
Did you put my microphone down, you prick?
So
I can shout! I can shout!
Ewan, we've not got time for this. Save it for later. Ewan, guess what? You need to do something now. Come on. Come on back to the table. Come on.
What are we doing?
Come back to the... We need to do some transfers.
Oh, I'm happy to do that.
Do some transfers. Hit the music, please.
Oh, do we have to listen to your pissed your mind?
He's back. Oh, it's transfer deadline window time. God. And I've got my Mr. Sheen out and I'm ready to clean the windows. Let's go. Come on. Big news, Ewan. Big news this week. Let's start in Aberdeen, shall we?
What? This is for last week. It says here Miofsky's gone.
Yeah, but he hadn't gone last week.
Oh, he is gone now.
He is Miofsky.
Oh, God.
Do you get it?
Aye.
He's away to Girona, which is in Spain.
Since we were last on, Adam Ida's turned up at Celtic.
Adam Ida, of course, signing for Celtic. Sensational. Nobody saw it coming. And fair play to the Celtic board, only taking about 4 months to get it over the line. £9.5 million.
Atalanta have decided to drop their interest in Celtic midfielder Matt Aurelli and have actually gone and signed another midfielder.
Yeah, they couldn't be bothered because they were so confused because we signed this Irish midfielder, but he's actually Danish and that just confuses everyone.
They've signed a 22-year-old Serbian international midfielder, Lazar
Samardžić. Yeah, of course, from Serbia.
Yeah. Manchester United and Scotland midfielder Scott McTominay.
Scott McTominay, of course, plays for Manchester United in Manchester.
Do you know where he might be heading?
He might be going to one of two places. He might be going to West London to Fulham, or he might be going to Naples to play with Napoli. Maradona played with them.
Yeah, I did. He won the league, famously in the 1980s.
Where do you think he's going, Ewan? Would you go to Naples or London?
Naples.
Better pizzas.
Better. 38 million.
38 million for Scott McTominay?
30.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry, I broke character there. But, I mean...
30 million for McTominay. Uh-huh. Liverpool 22-year-old...
30 million for Scott McTominay? Jesus Christ. Right. I mean, I love the boy. He's a great guy.
£30 million.
Uh-huh. Fuck my boots. Right. Jesus. Take the wind out my sails there. Liverpool,
22-year-old fullback Owen Beck.
Owen Beck was at Dundee last season. Yeah. A mortifying experience for everyone involved being in Dundee, but we'll move on.
Celtic might be coming in for him.
A left back, of course. Yeah. Back up to Greg Taylor or... maybe replacing him.
Correct. I think Liverpool are looking for a permanent deal and not a loan deal, but they've also got competition from Leeds United and Middlesbrough if Celtic want.
I tell you what, Bet. The Celtic board have been on fire in terms of transfers this summer. So if they want Owen Beck, he'll sign sometime in 2027, I would imagine, at this rate, and for about £52 million or something. Anyway, that's the transfers
transfer
over.
Transfer news is done.
Thank you. Right, OK. Let's move on to the League Cup then at the weekend. That was the big one. You said you wanted to talk about it.
I'm happy to talk about it, but if...
Where would you like to start?
If producer John the Falkirk fan bursts through that door...
No, I don't think he will be.
He's hanging about the building.
He's not here right now.
No, he's not here.
No, he's in the building.
Is he?
I listen, do you think I'm daft?
What do you mean?
Do you think I'm daft? Do you think I'm buttoned up the back? Do you think I'm zipped up the back? Do you think there's a hand up my ass making my mouth work?
Well, you're hiding it very well. I know what's going to happen.
So why don't you just get over in Dunway? Where is he?
I've got no idea. I've not spoken to John in person this morning. So why don't we start somewhere else and then we'll build up to it. That's what we can do. Let's start with Aberdeen beating Queen's Park. 7 wins out of 7 for Jimmy Tilleen as Aberdeen manager. So it was a late, late winner against Queen's Park, but they're through at the next round. That's all that matters.
Who have they played? Who have they played?
I don't know.
Who have they played up to this point in the 7-game unbeaten run?
Right, well... we'll put it this way.
I'm just asking you a question. I'm not. Listen, there's nothing behind.
How many games unbeaten are Hearts this season? So would you rather be in Aberdeen's position, having won 7 games in a row, or would you rather be in Hearts' position, having not won a game?
We haven't won a game since we last beat Dundee last season. Yeah. I think it's 1 game in 9.
But let's not dominate about Hearts.
Can I just say, just to back that up? You're right. You can only be what's in front of you. Yep. There are stiffer challenges to come for the new Aberdeen manager and for the club itself. But having said that, though, up to this point, Aberdeen have done what they've needed to do. And I will say this now, and I'll put this on record. I think, as I didn't believe at the start of the season, I now believe that they could well be a genuine threat at the top end of the table for Rangers and for Hearts. Because they don't have to worry about European football because they weren't good enough last season. They can concentrate on the league week to week. They've got themselves a bye in the semi-finals of the League Cup because they drew Spartans. So I think that Aberdeen, because of their reduced fixture list, will have a very, very good chance of finishing third and challenging Rangers.
So when I said last week that you were cacking your pants about Aberdeen and you denied it, 1 week later on, you're now confirming what I thought you thought.
See, there you go again. You keep casting up the past.
I'm not casting up the past. You sat there last week and you're obviously feeling threatened by Aberdeen because they've finally got their shit together a wee bit and you're worried. Are you worried?
Not worried. I do think, though, that Aberdeen not having European football will be of great help to
them. That's not what I asked you. I asked you if you were worried.
I'm not worried about them. I still think that Hearts, with the squad that we've got, will finish third, if not second. I still believe that. But I think we will only achieve that goal if Naismith is sacked. And we'll get to that shortly.
Okay.
But I think Aberdeen, I think they're going to have a very, very good season. I've got a good feeling about them now. Because when I looked into it, and I looked at the fixtures that they've got to play between now and the end of October, they've got a good run of fixtures coming up. They've got a good draw for the Cup. They're going to be there or there's about because they don't have Europe to worry about.
Dundee 6, Airdrie 1. A thumping win for Dundee. 6 different scorers. 27 goals in 9 games so far this season for Dundee.
3 of them came against Hearts at Dens Park.
Yep, I mean, we discussed that last week. I don't know why you keep bringing up the past, Ewan.
Because I'm doing it before you do, because you're fucking annoying me.
So Tony Docherty says it's a good time to be a Dundee fan. It certainly is.
I'd agree with that. I like Tony Dock. I was full of praise for him last season and I thought they were good to watch. I thought they were a decent side. They deserved their place in the top 6 and they're flying just now. I do love their midfield 3. I hope you remember this. 2 years ago in the podcast, remember I was banging on about Cameron in the midfield?
No.
No, you will. I was saying that Hearts were looking at him. I was given information that Hearts were looking at him and were looking at him as a possible signing.
Luke McCowan as well, obviously.
Luke McCowan is come into a game as well, but in the last couple of years, Cameron has just got better and better and better. And at the time when Hearts were linked to him when he was in the Championship, Hearts should have made a move for him because that boy is superb next to McCowan. And look, Hibs are trying to get a hold of McCowan. They've knocked back a £750,000 bid. Apparently Dundee want £1 million for them. I think McCowan could leave Dundee, and I think it'll go to the wire when it comes to transfer window closing.
They'll get plenty of money for him though.
Oh, they will do. Apparently Celtic are sniffing about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we said, the Celtic board, they're bang on when it comes to signing players. So, yeah, wouldn't rule that one out for the next four transfer windows. So, one of the big shocks of the weekend, the Spartans beating Ross County, League Two versus Premiership, obviously. And, Blair, what a header by Blair Henderson,
unreal.
By the way.
Bullet.
Absolutely tremendous header. And Spartans were the first fourth-tier team since Rangers to play in a League Cup quarter-final, because Rangers were there 2012, 2013.
So just like Hearts, Ross County disrespected the opposition by making a number of changes, and they paid the ultimate price. So, what's your man's name who's in charge?
Don Cowie.
You've only got yourself to blame. You're out the cup because you disrespected Spartans and you got everything you deserved.
So you think, is that a sacking offence?
For showing disrespect to the club you're playing against?
No, by getting beat by a League Two team. And you're in the Premiership. Because, I mean, you're going to go...
It's embarrassing.
Well, you're going to go on to say that Stephen Naismith should be sacked by getting beat by Falkirk. Surely it's worse getting beat by a League Two team if you're a Premiership team.
I think Don Cowie's got enough credit in the bank.
And Stephen Naismith hasn't for finishing third last season.
No, because you got lucky last year.
Right, you got lucky.
Because Aberdeen and Hibs and everyone else.
And Don Cowie didn't get lucky getting to the playoff final and getting through.
I don't think it's a sackable offence, but I do think that he...
Why are you making one rule for... Why are you sticking up for Don Cowie?
I'm not sticking up for Don Cowie.
You said you shouldn't lose his job, but Stephen Naismith should lose his job against... Since they lost to Falkirk.
Anyway,
Rangers 2, St Johnston 0 at Hampden. You know, there'll be a lot of chat about the VAR stuff, which we'll get to in VARWTF. What positives for Rangers, obviously, getting through? Still wasn't a fantastic performance. No.
I think the positive there is possibly Desser scored again.
Yeah.
The other positive would be...
What did you make of the celebrations at the end of the match?
Understood it.
Okay.
It's not celebrating because they beat St Johnston. It's because they've been going through such a tough time recently. Being at Hampden.
Did you not think it was a bit cringe?
Was it a bit cringe? I thought what they were trying to do was to show that the players are with the fans. They feel sorry for the fans. They've not been as good as they should be.
Surely they can just show that by winning matches.
They're out. They were knocked out by Dynamo Kyiv. They are having an absolute shocker of a season. They're still at Hampden. I think it was all of that. And I just think they wanted to show it. They could have done it a bit more subtle instead of jumping around as if they just won the league. But I kind of get it. It was kind of cringe, but I kind of get it as well.
Okay. Dundee United 1, St Mirren 0. A wee European hangover for St Mirren. Great result for Dundee United, though, through
called
to the
it.
Quarterfinals. You did call it, actually. So congratulations to them. And it's been a pretty decent start for Jim Goodwin and his men. Obviously playing Motherwell now in the quarterfinals.
They've got a great chance to get it through.
Exactly. No, they're not. They're away from home. But
are they? Dundee United away?
Dundee United are at Fir
Park. Oh, that'll be close then.
Yeah. Okay. Motherwell made it through, beating Kilmarnock. Again, lots of changes for Kilmarnock, and
unlucky to lose it.
Stuart Finlay was sent off in the second half as well, obviously, which didn't help.
Good header though. Mm-hmm. Good cross on the left. Good header down the keeper's near post. And well done to Motherwell, because sure, Kettlewell was under a wee bit of pressure. The fans were kind of moaning and groaning
just
about him.
Keep drawing matches, Motherwell. They can't win. Celtic 3, Hibs 1 yesterday. So Celtic first half looked like they were on course to blow Hibs away again.
Yeah.
But then an absolutely tremendous header to get Hibs back in
the
game.
On the far corner.
An unbelievable header, I thought.
Brilliant header.
And that sparked Hibs back into life a wee bit. Second half, Celtic not as good, but then... Terrible, terrible goal for the third goal. They were playing it out at the back. The keeper, I don't know what the keeper was doing. Like,
everything about it was poor.
But it was almost like he could clearly see that Kuhn was coming and still carried on playing that, pass.
Just, the thing about Hibs, right, I thought Celtic, seeing that opening 20 minutes, it was 140 mile an hour. Mm-hmm. Hibs couldn't get near them. But as the game went on and they got that goal back, I thought, the second half could be interesting. And I thought the second half started quite tentative for Celtic, and I thought Hibs were getting more and more into the game. I thought Hibs looked good going forward. Defensively looked like a shambles. The last thing you want to be doing when you've got Celtic at 2-1 is to hand them the third goal, basically. And that's exactly what they did. They shot themselves in the foot. And look, they've got the two games against Celtic out the way. There's no more excuses going forward.
Dundee on Saturday, Easter
Road. Huge. That's, I mean, it's a massive game for David Gray. Listen, a lot of Celtic Hibs fans will be going, do you know what? It was Celtic. They're outstanding. They're a great side. They won the league last year. The Hibs have still got a new team. They've got new signings that have come in. But now there will be no more leeway for David Gray. Dundee, Easter Road, that's a must-win game for him.
Okay, let's move on to the final game that we haven't mentioned yet, which is Falkirk 2, Hearts 0. 8 changes to the starting lineup Stephen Naismith made for the match. Maybe they've got a wee eye on the European game on Thursday night.
European game.
You're playing Victoria
One
Pilsen.
European game, yeah.
Let's be perfectly honest here. Falkirk could have been 3 or 4 down after about half an hour. I mean,
we hit the bar.
Yeah, I mean, Hearts made
see,
some.
See, I told you.
Oh, I wonder what could be happening here. So this is producer John. He's a Falkirk fan, and he did this last week with me because they beat Dunfermline 2-0. And they've now gone and beat Hearts 2-0 as well.
Come on, Ewan!
Come on, Ewan, you were joining in last week, so come on.
The day is dawning.
Your breath stinks. Your breath stinks. And you need deodorant, mate.
I'll long to be here.
So, I mean, just like, sum it up for me, John.
Sum up for me, John. Do we need to hear for him?
He's a Falkirk fan. Listen, hand on heart, I would have wanted Hearts to win on Saturday. Absolutely pumped Falkirk. Never want Falkirk to win a game. But, you know, sometimes Falkirk will win matches. I just have to accept that. You know, that's part of life. And if they are to win a match, the fact that it happened against you...
Amazing. Can I ask John a question here?
Yes,
as a Falkirk fan. Your CEO, Jamie Swinney.
Yeah, John Swinney.
Jamie, as well, I called him John, but that was a mistake. So Jamie Swinney, can I ask you? No, I like Jamie. He was on the show last season.
Yes, he was.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
Great guy.
But then he was quote tweeting me and messaging me over the weekend on Twitter for the public to see. He didn't message me privately. Yeah. I just thought he was very unprofessional.
Well, Ewan, you were kind enough. I do a podcast called Falkirk Daft. If you like Falkirk, listen to that.
Yeah.
You were kind enough to come on the podcast and believe the quote from you, and I'm maybe paraphrasing this a slightly, Stephen. You're a League One side playing in the Championship, and Hearts are going to smash you up and down the park 4 or 5-0. Was that?
You didn't answer my question.
What?
Your CEO,
Ewan,
tweeting me.
Do you know what's interesting about this, right? So, Jamie, obviously, he follows me on social media as well. We had a few disagreements as well.
If he turns up, I'm walking out.
No, Alex Totten's going to come in and give you a lap dance in a minute, though. So, but Jamie, when Falkirk beat Dunfermline last week, I got nothing for Jamie.
So
why has he targeted you? As opposed to, because you'd think your natural sort of enemy would be me, because I'm a Dunfermline fan. But maybe he just realises that I'm a normal person.
Okay, I'll tell you why he probably targeted me, and he was happy to message me and quote tweet me, because I messaged him during the week.
Right.
Ahead of the game
against Right.
But I'm a fan.
I'm just
a normal guy.
He's
a CEO of a football club. He shouldn't be getting dragged into the nonsense of supporting a football club.
Do you know what's interesting, Ewan? Is that last week you were so happy. You were dancing about the studio.
I wasn't dancing. I didn't move my seat.
You did. You were giving it all that.
Did I move out my seat last week?
No.
So I wasn't dancing
you
about.
You made John stay until the chorus came in.
So it's okay. The chorus is about to come.
Is it about to come? Right. I try and block out the song if I'm being perfectly honest with you. But Ewan, do you want to join in this week?
No, I'm not joining in this week.
But you seem an awfully big supporter.
He's had his moment in the sun. Right, amazing. John, you can leave now because you've had your say about
chorus.
Falkirk.
We're waiting for the chorus.
Congratulations to your team, but you're getting absolutely fucking hammered against Celtic.
Right.
So enjoy your wee victory against Hearts because you're about to get obliterated and annihilated when you get to Parkhead.
Okay, the chorus is about to come.
Yeah.
This is the bit you usually join in.
Enjoy your day at Parkhead. Enjoy watching your team get smashed up and doing the East End of Glasgow.
You know the words to this bit because you were singing it last week.
I was singing it last week.
Sha la 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 la. Sha-la-la-la. Come on, you
in. YouTube take this down because of copyright.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
I hope YouTube warning. He's playing music. He shouldn't be playing copyright.
Right.
John.
Anyway.
Leave him out.
Thanks, Ewan.
You back next week, John?
I'm back next week.
Oh, tell
Scottish football podcast double. Come on.
Yeah. I'm on the Celtic. By the way, I'll actually message Jamie myself. I don't need you. You be my messenger boy. Wayne, brush your teeth.
That's not very nice.
Use some Listerine.
That's not very nice. Just because your team were absolutely garbage on Saturday.
You don't be... What? That's not very nice.
That isn't very nice. Look.
That wasn't nice.
He did it to me last week and you thought it was hilarious.
That wasn't nice. Him doing that, dancing up and doing... And he smacked me in the head when he ran past.
Did he do that to me last week? And what was your reaction then? Were you saying that last week? Ewan? When you were...
Can we talk about Hearts?
Yeah, I suppose so. So, yeah, eight changes. Stephen A. Smith.
Eight changes.
So, Stephen A. Smith is back to being sacked by Ewan Cameron, correct?
I've never been a fan.
No. But you have said on occasion...
I've had enough.
Is that the...
I'm putting my cards on the table right now.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
I have had this love-hate thing with Stephen Naismith.
Like you do with Derek McInnes.
Right? No, again, you're at it.
Right.
But when it comes to Stephen Naismith, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you will know that I have always had my doubts. I didn't want Stephen Naismith anywhere near the Hearts job when he got it. And I was angry he was given the role because I think that he isn't ready for it. I don't think he's experienced enough. And nothing has really changed my opinion. There's every now and then we'll get a decent result. We got a decent run in the league last year. But if you look back at a lot of the games that we played last season, we got away with it. We got lucky. He'd mess up at the start. He'd make some changes at halftime. And we would somehow claw it back. We finished third in spite of Stephen Naismith last season. And there are Hearts fans out there who still support him, but I think if we continue to support him and continue to back him, this ain't going to end well. This has got Barry Robson written all over it. This has got Sean Maloney written all over it. This has got David Gray written all over it. Stephen Glass written all over it. These managers, we all laughed at Aberdeen. We all laughed at Hibs for signing these managers. We signed someone similar in Stephen Naismith. It's never, ever, 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 ever going to work. They have backed him this season. We've paid money. We've got a fantastic squad of players. He has changed the team three times in three games. He's treating Heart of Midlothian Football Club like a PlayStation game, like champ manager on the PC. He made eight changes. Why? Aberdeen,
Do you not think the teams that have had a great start
to the season haven't made the changes that he is making?
Do you not think that the eight changes that were made on Saturday, the eight players that came in, were strong enough to beat Falkirk?
Hold on a wee second. I'm going to read out what he said after the game.
Right. No, but answer my question first. The eight changes, because we were doing the big Saturday football show.
But we were all pretty shocked
that he made eight changes, right?
I questioned it. I wasn't happy about it.
No, but then you were like, actually, that just shows you how strong the squad
is. It does, but again, I wasn't sure about the eight changes.
Clearly not, because you got beat.
So the gaffer, the Gorgy gaffer, it says in the story, left the likes of Lawrence Shanklin on the bench, and we struggled to find a cutting edge.
We know that.
Right. This is what he said. Naismith said this. It just clears up that we can't rotate as much. Oh, tell me something we don't already know. We told you that after the Rangers game when we played Dundee. Stop with the changes. Stop with the tinkering. He said this. We shouldn't rotate as much. I've maybe learnt that lesson. There's a tight schedule, but we'll just need to put out a team we think is going to win us the game. Exactly. Play your best 11 like Dundee have, like Celtic have, like Aberdeen have. They're not tweaking it. They're not tinkering. And they've got momentum.
But as you said,
treat it like a PlayStation game.
As you said earlier on in the podcast, the reason Aberdeen can do that is because they've not got European football.
Oh, Stephen, see, three games into the campaign, you shouldn't be worrying about resting players and rotating. So anyway, Naismith is a no for me, and I don't give a shit what he does between now and next season. He'll always be
if he splits the Old Firm.
I don't give a shit.
So wait a minute. Just to clarify what you're meaning here, Hearts can go on and finish second this season, and you still won't be a fan of Stephen Naismith because he's lost a match against Falkirk.
Put it this way, what I will say to you here and now, I firmly believe with the squad of players that we've got and the performance we put in against Rangers that we could split the Old Firm this year. I still believe that, but we will not under any circumstances, do it with Stephen Naismith in charge. What and if we do not challenge Rangers for second this year, it's a failure and it's on him. If we do not close the gap and get within touching distance of getting second place from Rangers, it's a failure and it's on him. And if he fails in challenging Rangers this year, it's a sackable offence. But I don't think he'll see out this season, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. I genuinely don't see him seeing out this season. So why not just pull the trigger now and bring in someone with experience that can work with a great squad of players that can then challenge for second spot, because Naismith is not the man to take us forward.
Hearts legend Craig Levine, get him back. He's got loads of experience.
You're looking for a bite again. Who would you like to come in? Worm, juicy worm sat there on the line, and I'm looking at it. I'm starving. I'm hungry. I want to bite that worm. I want to bite that hook, but I'm not going to fall for it.
So who would you like to get in then? Because, well, obviously, I was. It's not going to be Craig Levine. I was just joking. Well done for seeing through
McInnes.
That. So you're going to put a bottler and a failure in charge of your club?
I've already explained my thoughts on that. Right. I've already explained my thoughts on that.
No, but you said that Derek McInnes, right? He can't take Kilmarnock any further, even though he can. He could take them into European group stage football, which would be a fantastic achievement.
I was talking about the league.
But leaving that aside,
I was talking about the league, Stephen. So again, you're mixing my words. You're taking things out of context. You're trying to annoy me here.
But just to go back, I'll provide context. You said that Derek McInnes was a bottler because he turned down the Rangers job. He said he didn't have it for a big club. Okay, so you saying that Hearts are not a big club then?
Hearts are a big club, but not as big as Rangers.
I think nobody would disagree with that.
And I don't think he could handle the pressure of working for an old firm team.
So he could handle the pressure of working for a small team like Hearts.
It's not small. We're a massive football club in Scottish football. We are the third best club in the country.
Right.
It's the third best job in the country, and I want Derek McInnes to take that role, and I think he'll learn lessons.
Would he leave Kilmarnock, where he's loved, he's backed by the board, he's got a great relationship with the owner? Why would he leave Kilmarnock?
If Derek McInnes was offered the Hearts job, he would walk to Edinburgh.
He wouldn't need to. He could probably just get a car.
My point is, that's how much he'd want the job, so he'd walk.
Right, all right, okay, you're making that point.
So I would take McInnes in a heartbeat.
Right, okay, but McInnes isn't going to leave Kilmarnock to go to Hearts.
Because
they're two similar sized clubs.
See, if Naismith goes at any point during the season, McInnes will be top of that league table when it comes to who replaces him. And I think McInnes, if he's offered it, will go. And we've got the money to pay any compensation that's needed. I'm telling you now, if Naismith goes, McInnes will be in the top of the list. There's nobody else.
There's nobody else on the list that has to be Derek McInnes.
It has to be McInnes for me. He has to replace Naismith. His experience, his know-how, the job he did at Aberdeen was superb. What he's done for Kilmarnock has been outstanding. It has to be him or Robinson at St Mirren.
Okay.
Those are the two that I would be going for. But listen, Naismith's in the job. And listen, he could go on to prove me wrong, but it's not going to change my opinion on him. I don't think he's good enough.
So overall...
Overall, Stephen, I've said what I need to say. It's not the Hearts podcast. You want to move on?
I was just going to say overall, so you weren't very happy with the weekend's football.
Yeah, compounded by the pish I've just had to put up with John and you.
I didn't know he was coming in.
Oh, God, you didn't know he was coming in.
I was really shocked. I couldn't believe he came in.
Well, if you watch it back on YouTube, you'll see that you were smiling from ear to ear.
There was no smiles for me.
Yeah, you were.
No, I don't.
In fact, you encouraged it.
How come it's okay for you to dish it out, but you can't take it?
Well, no, I can't.
You lash out. You've spent the entire podcast either lashing out at John or lashing out at me or the Falkirk CEO. You just admitted you were messaging the Falkirk CEO, winding him up during the week, and then he gives it back to you.
I was.
And then he gives it back to you, uh-huh. And that's not allowed. How's that not allowed?
I just think you should be more professional.
More professional than that. Yeah, exactly. Right, we'll leave it there.
I'll put on record, I do like your boy Swinney.
John Swinney, he's
a nice guy.
You like John
and
Swinney.
I enjoyed the banter
with
him on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, not John Swinney. What's his name again?
Yeah, John Swinney.
No, it's the First Minister.
Yeah.
Jamie.
All right, we'll get John Swinney on, see what he's got to say. It's a St Johnson fan, I think.
Have I got Jamie's number? I should message him instead of doing Twitter stuff.
Right, I'll spin through the lower league results at the weekend. Championship, only one match. Air United beating Hamilton 3-2. So that means 3 wins from 3 for Air United. They are top of the shop. So congratulations to them. Hamilton remains second bottom. But obviously, Dunfermline still bottom. League One, what about Kelty Hearts? They are top of the table. A 3-0 win against Arbroath.
Amazing.
And Jim McIntyre sacked as Arbroath manager straight after the match. So Arbroath looking for a manager.
I think at the start I read yesterday, 3 wins and 21 losses.
Yeah, terrible.
I didn't realise it was that bad.
Absolutely terrible. Jim McIntyre obviously had an absolute nightmare at Dundee when he was in charge. Did okay at Ross County.
Yeah.
Did okay at...
So why did it go so badly?
Did okay at Queen of the South. Did okay at Dunfermline until we got into the Premier League, and then it didn't go well at all. I don't know. I think Jim McIntyre might not get a job again because... he's been appalling at Arbroath. And you know, I think
do you know, I'm done.
The fact that he even got this season, I think, was surprising to a lot of Arbroath fans. So 3-0 Celtic Hearts going up there and winning. That means they are top. Arbroath are bottom. Alloa winning against Stenhouse Muir by a 1-0. Cove Rangers 1, Dumbarton 1, Inverness 1, Montrose 1. So another bit of nightmare. And funny, after we had Stevie from the Wine of Shuffle, the Inverness podcast on last week,
I know,
the announcement the next day that Alan Savage is now sort of back as chairman, big local employer up there as well, got a bit of money, so hopefully they should be fine.
And Scott Gardner then eventually left.
So he left. He obviously heard the podcast and went, well, even Ewan's no sticking up for me now. So I better go. Queen of the South 2, Annan 0 rounds off the games in League 1. And in League 2, Stirling and Albion beating Clyde by 2-0. Another win for East Fife, 2 in a row for them. 2-1 against Forfar this time. Edinburgh City 2, Bonnyrigg 2, Peterhead 1, Stranraer 0. Peterhead have won all three of their matches so far this season, 100% record. Elgin also have 100% record, but they have only played 2 matches. Because they were meant to play Spartans at the weekend, who were beating Ross County. That is you up to date. Let's chat some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, we've kind of already covered this one. So, Jeffy's sending off against Dynamo Kiev. I think we're all in agreement. Incredibly soft. Second yellow card.
100%.
The first one, I can sort of see why.
I can't even see the first one. I thought that was soft as well.
I can see that more than second.
Oh,
one.
No, I agree. I can see. You could make an argument for it. Again, yeah. I thought it was soft.
And obviously, you can't go back and review yellow cards. So, no.
Unlucky.
So, yeah, it was. Also, let's get to Rangers on Saturday against St Johnstone. Craig Levine absolutely furious at this. And it was Matthew McDermott. So, he 100% signalled.
Put his hand up for a free kick, but he didn't blow the whistle.
Until
the goal was scored.
So.
By Dessers. Opening goal, big goal, important goal, and a key time in the game.
It's annoying because I think if you're a St Johnstone fan, you're livid at that. You're absolutely livid. Ultimately, I think the correct decision has been made. It wasn't a foul.
Rules are rules. Unfortunately, for Premier Sports, the co-commentator didn't have a clue what he was talking about, Michael Stewart. But anyway, Michael Stewart should read up on the rules before he does co-commentary on a national TV channel, because he made himself look like a fool.
What did he say, for those who didn't hear it?
It was in regards to not knowing the rules of the referee. Oh, that shouldn't have been a goal, and da 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 da, da, and the referee puts his hand up, and blah 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 blah. Didn't he blow the whistle though, Michael? Anyway, moving on.
No, so I was just saying. So he said that
he didn't understand that. Obviously, the referee did put his hand up, and everyone could see that he put his hand up, but he didn't blow the whistle. And what the rules are, and has been printed by IFAB, because I'm an expert when it comes
IFAB expert,
is that what is happening right now, and the directive is that you allow the attacking play to reach a conclusion before you possibly blow the whistle, and then you can pull it back and say, well, that was a free kick. VAR can look and go, well, it's not a free kick, the goal stands. And what your man did, the referee, was he signalled for a free kick but didn't blow the whistle, and then Desser scores and then he blows the whistle thinking it was a free kick, and that the player had impeded, that Dessers had impeded the defender.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a foul.
No. And then with something similar yesterday in the English Premiership, when it was Brentford versus Crystal
Palace.
Stopped
it before it went in.
Eze had a free kick on the outside of the box, and the referee blows his whistle for an infringement in the box when the free kick directly goes into the goal. He should have just waited 2 or 3 seconds and the goal would have stood. But once he blows his whistle before the ball hits the back of the net, VAR can't do nothing. You have to play to the whistle.
I can understand why St Johnstone and Craig Levine are annoyed, but it was the right decision. Like,
it was the right decision.
Everything came out. Do you know what I mean? And the reason I say that...
The thing is, I wouldn't be annoyed by it. And the reason he's turning this in, this molehill into a mountain, and I tell you why he's doing that is because they've lost. And again, it's this thing amongst fans out with the Old Firm that think there's some sort of agenda against everybody else, and that all the decisions go for Celtic and Rangers. And I think by questioning it, it adds to the it fuels those flames. Craig Levein deep down should know what the rules are. When I was a wee boy, the first thing that I was ever told by my football manager or football coach was play to the whistle. Play to the whistle. And they was going, oh, some players maybe stopped or some players not, so the referee's hand up. The defenders who were around Dessers didn't stop. They still put their challenges in. Goalkeeper didn't stop because he saw the referee. If you're watching the referee and not doing your job, then that's on you. But the defenders in and around Dessers and the goalkeeper didn't see the referee put his hand up.
I actually thought, see the way that Dessers like just fired the ball in, I thought he was expecting that it was going to be pulled back for a free kick.
Oh, the way that he kind of nonchalantly kind of blasted the back
like
of the
it
net.
Was, you know, like when people know they're offside and they just sort of like hit it anyway.
But I do think that the old adage, play to the whistle, is very much in is the case here. And I was disappointed in Craig Levein's comments after the game. I can understand his frustration, but the rules are the rules. The IFAB rules are crystal clear. And even some of the newspapers and some of the comments on social media, again, were fueling flames that don't need to be flamed. They really don't. You're not doing Scottish football any favours by, in some way, carrying on about there's a conspiracy, the referees are this, the referees are that. I've had enough of that BS. We don't need that. And there was nothing untoward about that decision on Saturday. It was a good goal, a legitimate goal, and the referee, for me, did a really good job, unlike what they did in the greatest league in the world yesterday in the Premiership.
Now, I broadly agree with that, by the way. But I guess the only thing is, you know, the referee did make the signal. And I know that doesn't matter.
I totally agree with
you. So the referee shouldn't have done that.
He shouldn't have done that, but I think... happened with the referee? I think he put his hand out. He went to his ears. I shouldn't whistle here just in case. So he was stuck between the two. So well done for not seeing it all the way through by whistling. Can you imagine the controversy today? Had he put his hand up and whistled?
Oh, Ewan, let's be honest. Could you imagine the controversy if it was at the other end of the pitch?
Yes.
Like, come on.
My point, yes, exactly. So fair play to him for not going fully through with it and blowing the whistle as Dessers is about to take the shot.
Like,
I mean, can you imagine the Rangers' reaction then?
Well, precisely, exactly. So, yeah. I think ultimately, correct decision. So,
yes. Well done. Who's the referee?
Matthew McDermott. Celtic.
I applaud you, Matthew McDermott.
Celtic 3, Hibs 1, Kevin Clancy. So, claims for a penalty. Very quick check.
On Forrest. Penalty.
You think it was a penalty?
Penalty for me. 2-1, it was a penalty. 36 minute penalty.
You think definitely it's a penalty?
He was meeting the sandwich.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, one wrong then for VAR.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's move on for our brand new section of the Big Scottish Football Podcast, which is overrated, underrated. Give me a wee opening bed, please. Do we have a bed for this?
I think we do.
I don't think we do. Go top. We go don't. up.
Do we have a bed?
Go. Yep. Up. Yep.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Right, overrated, underrated. Each week, myself or Ewan bring something that is overrated or underrated, and it's up to you to cast your vote on whether you think you agree with us or not. So you've spoken on Twitter. We put it up last night. Football under the lights, I said, was overrated. It doesn't make any difference to the quality of the game, the atmosphere, or anything like that. I just believe that. I just think...
You believe it's overrated?
Yes. So I think there's every chance of going and seeing a rubbish game midweek as there is on a Saturday. And vice versa, a good game on a midweek as there is on a Saturday.
Despite me giving you loads of examples of why I love games under the lights.
Yeah,
I've been to Celtic, I've been to Rangers on European nights.
I have been
nights.
To good games under the lights. I've seen, like, you know...
I know you've seen loads of good games under the lights.
But I've seen lots of rubbish games as well.
Yeah. But there's something about the lights on a Wednesday night.
So anyway... People on at what's our Twitter? At BS Football Show. I'm getting mixed up. What's our Twitter, producer Michael? Is it at BS? No, it's not.
It's BS.
At Big Football Scott. At Big Football Scott. I just remembered there.
Yeah.
At Big Football Scott, that's where you can tweet us. That's where you can have your say on everything that we say on the podcast, your opinion, and on YouTube as well, obviously. 70% of people have agreed It is not overrated. So I have been defeated.
What was the percentage?
70% of people obviously don't
we
think
didn't
it's...
Get, we need to do it again because we didn't get a drum roll.
Oh, yeah, give us a drum roll, actually.
We need a drum roll. So pretend you didn't hear that.
Oh, right, okay, right.
So we need a drum roll for the result.
Yeah. 70 people. Right, give me another drum roll.
Drum roll again.
70% of people don't think it's overrated.
And hundreds of you cast your vote.
Yeah.
Literally. So, well done. I agree with
Scott
you.
RFC says, any stadium event is better under lights. Wemo says, makes a big difference. Hearts could have been doing with floodlights yesterday. So, Ewan, your turn to nominate, please, something overrated or underrated in Scottish football.
Right. Well...
For God's sake. You can do this thing again.
Uh-huh.
Right.
I think this is overrated.
Mm-hmm. Like every week. Make sure you bleep that, Michael. Don't leave that in. Bleep it.
What do you think?
You're obsessed.
Overrated? Is it? Is it overrated?
Nah.
Producer Michael says overrated.
Just why do you have to do this every week?
Because I like to see your reaction. It's the reason I do it. You have to beep that. Make sure you beep that. Because see if one of them get out, I'm in trouble. I just do it for his reaction. But I mean, we're adults. Have we ever discussed this before? Like in the pub? Have we?
I hope not. And I hope never to. I hope never to.
I think we should discuss it when we're out with our partners, though. Maybe it's a group discussion.
It's absolutely not a group discussion. It's not a group discussion at all. It's not even a discussion on this podcast. So you can give me something that's football related, that's underrated or overrated, please.
Okay. I haven't even thought about this.
Well, you better think now. It's your turn. It's literally your turn.
Producer Michael, you're in my ear. If you can think of something that I could use here, because there's quite a few things that I was thinking about a few weeks ago, and I've kind of lost track of my thoughts now. Something that's overrated or underrated. It doesn't have to be Scottish football. Can it just be football as a whole?
Can be
just
football.
Just football. Could it also be just life?
Well, not.
Does it always have to be football?
Well, no, because you've tried to introduce life stuff and it only goes one way.
Here's one for you. Overrated. Fans clapping substitutes when they're warming up.
Fans acknowledging
substitutes when they're warming up behind their goal.
Okay, if that's your nomination.
That's well overrated.
That's well overrated.
Overrated.
Showing appreciation for your substitutes behind a goal is overrated, according to Ewan Cameron. Okay, at Big Football Scott on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram as well. And of
it's
course.
It's all this, isn't it? It's like this if the players come over in their bibs and like that.
We're on the Super Scoreboard YouTube channel as well.
What's
just search for Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
And then the players go kind of like, well, we nod with our head, go, yeah.
Hey. Is it not just being nice?
That's overrated, man.
It's overrated.
They don't care whether you clap them or not.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air across Glasgow and the West every single weekday night from 6 o'clock with Gordon Duncan and the lads. And obviously on every Saturday as well. And we're on everywhere else every single Saturday from 2 o'clock.
We are.
Big Saturday football show. 4-1 West FM, TFM, MFR, North Sound 1. And this weekend we are going to be at Hibs versus Dundee. Former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan will be there.
Good game.
So yeah, it's a good game. Right. Oh, by the way,
what?
I think people are getting closer to this. Let's do our masked footballer. So let's have a wee recap of what we know so far. So we know that this footballer, this mystery footballer, we don't know who it is.
Producer John organised the footballer and he got the footballer to just say yes or no to our questions and they've disguised his voice. So what we know so far is what, Stephen?
We know that this player has not won any senior caps for Scotland but has won youth caps for Scotland.
And under 21 caps.
Yes, exactly, yes, underage caps. We know that this player is still playing.
Still a current player.
Still a current player. Now...
You said something about Scott Allen last week, which I thought was a really good shout.
A couple of people have said Scott Allen.
Yes. So I said...
By the way, at Big Football Scott, if you've got any theories, if you've got any questions you'd like us to ask for the mass footballer for next week, get in touch with your suggestions.
Yes, of questions to rule out things.
And it needs to be like rule out, because it can't just be, are you Scott Allen? Because we're not at that stage yet.
I'm not at that stage yet to be confident enough to say that.
It needs to be like, you know, are you bald? Yes. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think we need to ask a question that might rule out Scott Allen, but ruling something else.
Okay.
But I don't know what that question is now. What clubs was he with? Do we say... So he's at Kelty just now?
Yes.
So should the question be... Should it be, has he played his football in the east of the country?
Yeah, but...
But then if it says yes, that could be him, or it could be anybody from a Hearts or a Hibs or a Falkirk.
Or we could go with, are you playing in the Scottish Premiership?
Nah, see, because I don't think
he
will be.
Are you playing in the lower leagues in Scotland?
But if you narrow it down to the east of the country, then you know it's not the east of the country, if it's a yay or a nay.
Yeah, but there's loads of teams in the east and in the west and in the north.
But if they say yes, so where does the east end? Does the east end at Falkirk? Or is Falkirk the west?
No, I wouldn't say Falkirk's the west.
So you think Falkirk is east of the country?
Ish.
So it's Falkirk beyond... And you go to Edinburgh, North Berwick, etc., etc., etc. That's the east of the country.
Yeah, but what happens if they play for, like, Ross County?
I don't think it will be. I'm just thinking about producer John. Remember, keep in mind, producer John needs to know this person.
No, he doesn't need to know this person. It could be a couple of degrees of separation.
He could have asked somebody else to get somebody to say yes or no into a microphone.
Yeah.
I know this is not what we've done before. Can I just hear
What about this? So I support Dunfermline, you support Hearts, John supports Falkirk. Why don't we say...
But they're all in the east of the country.
Have you ever played...
For Falkirk?
For any of the teams that we support on this podcast?
That's a brilliant question!
Because that would...
That if he says aye to that, we know it's between those three clubs.
Exactly.
That's a brilliant question.
Are we going with that?
Right, be careful how you phrase it.
Okay, right, I'm ready for the question.
Okay.
Has our mass footballer played for any of the teams that either Ewan, me, or producer John support on this podcast?
No.
Oh, I feel like I've ruined a question now. I feel like I've ruined a question.
Played with Dunfermline, never played with Hearts or Rangers or Falkirk, so...
Sorry?
Oh, sorry, there was a Freudian slip there.
What did you say?
I just said they never played with Hearts. Anyway,
Go and let me hear ye again. Go and play yes for me.
Aye.
I can't do it.
Go no again?
No.
Could be anybody. But we now know it's not any of those three clubs.
Okay. Right.
I think that's a waste of a question. We should have done what I said.
You said it was an amazing question before.
I think we should have just went... Well, then again, we've ruled out three clubs in the east, but what if he's a Hibs player? We could have been... Oh, God.
Right. Okay.
If you've got any suggestions for a question that narrows it down in any way, shape or form, would be great. Let us know.
Yeah, Big Football Scott, and you can leave your questions on YouTube as well. Right, time to go around the grounds. We've been doing this every week this season, so speaking about... something in particular in
about
Scottish
the club.
Football. About the club, exactly. And we've had, as I mentioned earlier on, Stevie from the Wine and Shuffle was on speaking about Inverness last week. We had your man from the Battle Fever podcast on the week before as well.
For Rangers, yeah.
This week, we have somebody who is a massive Kilmarnock fan. He's from the Killy Fans podcast.
He followed me last night.
Forever and ever.
He followed me last night.
His name is Monty. And obviously, it's been a cracking start to the season. Hopefully, we can say hello to Monty. Are you on the line?
I am on the line.
How are you doing, Monty? You all right?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. So listen...
Monty, hold on, Stephen. Monty, was it you that followed me last night on Twitter?
I followed the this podcast, yes, I believe.
No, all but right. Somebody followed me... hold on. Is there a rival podcast?
Well, there's the Killy View podcast.
And do you hate them?
No, we love them. We're best friends.
Oh, right, okay, friends. Right, that's fine. I was hoping some sort of like...
I'll tell you who it is.
Anchorman style, like sort of
somebody
meeting
from,
in the car park at Rugby Park or something.
Followed me last night.
Anyway, Ewan, this is tedious beyond belief because Monty's on to talk about Kilmarnock. Were you over in Norway?
I was over in Norway, yes.
I mean, just on a scale of one to tremendous, how was it?
Tremendous. we'd just about cover it. It was a really special experience. It was amazing.
You know, like, I've obviously got like a group chat with my mates, and we're mostly Dunfermline fans. There's a Hibs fan in there as well. But we were just like, we are so jealous of all the Kilmarnock fans being over there and just absolutely loving life, because there's nothing better than going and see your team like play away in Europe, especially if you're a smaller club as well. And, you know, it doesn't happen every single year. You know, like, how was the hangover the next day?
I didn't even get a hangover. I was still in a high until about Sunday afternoon. it was just, it's like you're saying, when you do support one of these sort of provincial clubs, to get the opportunity to play in Europe's good enough, but to go somewhere like Tromso, the Arctic Circle, somewhere you would never normally, well, I would never normally go, so, and then to win when you were over there as well, was just, you couldn't have scripted it any better. It was magic.
You know what I loved about it? It was to see the fans, the players, the management team, all united, celebrating on the pitch. It was just fantastic to see. And here's my question to you. You've done brilliantly in Europe, and you've been what's the word I'm looking for? You've been a credit to the club, a credit to the league, brilliant result. Are you okay with it affecting your domestic form because of how well you're doing in Europe, or does it worry you?
I'm very okay with it.
Right.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'm very confident that by the time November, December comes around, we'll claw any points back. Listen, I think the one thing that we know with Killy this year is I doubt we'll be able to finish fourth again, especially with the way the likes of Aberdeen, they look like they're cooking a bit more this year, and Hearts and Hibs are maybe come strong again. So I think we'll be around about maybe 6th, 7th, something like that. I think we'll get the points, but I don't think we'll go down. So to go this long without getting Europe, and to be in it and then wishing it away, doesn't make any sense to me. So, no, I'm fine with the domestic stuff, taking a wee bit of a backseat for a few weeks.
We'll speak about the game against Copenhagen in just a wee bit, but just to stick on the domestic stuff just now, obviously, the job that Derek McInnes has done, because for people who might not remember, I mean, he's coming off the back of Tommy Wright in the Championship.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. Not only was the football tragic, but, you know, you are in a title race against Arbroath. It obviously went down to the last game of the season. You eventually won, which I'm sure was a great night. But, you know, that just, I think, shows you that Billy Bowie had confidence that if he got a proper manager in Derek McInnes, then, you know, Kilmarnock can really, really flourish. And, you know, I know the first season back up was a wee bit of a struggle. You stayed up, though. It was fine. That was probably the remit. And then last season was just obviously fantastic. I mean, the job that Derek McInnes has done, there must be part of you that's like, well, you know, he probably is going to move on at some point, whether it is back down south or to a big club or to Scotland. I mean, does that worry you in any shape?
I'm still recovering from hearing the name of Tommy Wright again.
Sorry about that, mate. Sorry.
Hang on, I'm just wiping my... I'm kind of shaking a wee bit. No, there's no doubt about it. Derek McInnes was a huge coup, in particular considering the state we were in when he came.
Mm-hmm.
And the job he's done, you just, as a Kilmarnock supporter, you can't ask for any more than finishing fourth in the league and getting into Europe. You're talking FC Copenhagen we're talking about here. I mean, 2.5-3 seasons ago, we were rattling about playing Fraserburgh in the League Cup group stages. You know what I mean? It's like this is dreamland. We're in, and I think McInnes has done an amazing job. I think it's been a really good job for him as well, because he's kind of got the running of the club in terms of how everything goes football wise. He makes all the decisions. He's obviously brought in Russ Richardson in terms of the recruitment side of things, and we've got a very kind of clear strategy under him. That the style of football isn't the best, but we get results. So that's all you ask for, really, in football. And I need to do about it. He'll not be here forever. He'll get offers. He maybe has already had offers, from what I understand, but just trying to enjoy the good times now. And I think there might be an opportunity there that if things continue to go well, he might go and end up Scotland manager. And also, same as Steve Clark, I've got a feeling that might end up being the case. But no, he's done a brilliant job, no question.
Here's a question for you, looking ahead to the European tie against FC Copenhagen. This is a club that beat Man United last season in the Champions League, and there's Kilmarnock about to play them in a two-legged game with a place in the Europa Conference League up for grabs. I mean, that is quite remarkable, isn't it? As you were saying, you're up playing Fraserburgh a couple of years ago in the League Cup, and here you are up against the conquerors of Man United in the Champions League last season.
it seems quite surreal when you're saying it out loud. But listen, if they've come up against Man United, they'll be prepared for us. So they should be all right in terms of their preparation. But I don't know if they've come up against the likes of Rory McKenzie and Kyle Vidal. I know Man United are not quite the team they used to be, but it's dreamland it is. And I think, obviously, we had a terrible experience in Europe a few years ago, losing to Connors Key. So they demons feel that they've been exercised. We got the trip to Bruges, we had 3,000 fans over there. We had that far-flung, amazing experience up in Tromso, where you've went and won the game, and now this feels like the glamour tie that the club's wanted for maybe 30 years, probably since we played Kaiserslautern, to get a proper European name. Mm-hmm. It's surreal and very exciting indeed.
Are you going to the away leg?
My annual leave, both from my workplace and domestically, are more than expired, so I won't be able to go. I've chanced my luck enough. I was in Germany for the Euros and stuff like that too. So,
oh mate, you've used up all your credit.
Oh, and some man, they pints in Norway were a bit more expensive. And I was, listen, no, I'm not going to make it. I think with what I've been told, they've already sold 600 tickets.
Amazing.
So it'll maybe push toward maybe 800-900, something like that. I was in Copenhagen in April as well, so I can't really moan. But what a city to visit, what a stadium to be in, and what a thing to be part of. It's amazing.
One final question before we let you go. What do you think about the game against Copenhagen? Just stay in it, take it back to Rugby Park?
That would be literally what I was going to say. Just try and make sure, don't go and get beat 4-0, because it'll take the shine off the return leg. If we can get them back to Rugby Park and we're in the game, we're doing 2-0, we're doing 2-1, we somehow sneak a draw over there, Rugby Park will be full again. And you just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. One thing about Derek McInnes is he always seems to pull a result out the bag when it's needed. When things maybe are starting to wobble a wee bit, he manages to do that. So, if we can stay in the tie, keep it exciting for the second leg, keep everybody interested, like you're saying, fans of different clubs.
Yeah,
that's what we're asking for. So hopefully the boys can go over there and do the job.
Okay, okay, Monty from the Forever and Ever, the Killy Fans podcast. Thank you very much. Genuinely, all the best.
Yes, good luck, mate.
For the European tie. Hope you've managed to make it through. And all the best for the rest of the season, mate.
Much obliged, lad. Thank you very much.
Cheers. There goes Monty there. One thing that we didn't really touch on earlier on was obviously Kilmarnock are putting a request to delay.
Not officially yet.
Not officially,
they're
but
they're talking about it.
They're talking about putting in to delay their match against Aberdeen on Sunday so they can get a full week prep for it. Thoughts on that? Should they be
well,
able...
I tweeted last night...
And, by the way, just to clarify... It has happened before. There's been plenty of examples of teams getting games postponed in Scottish football.
Listen, I have always backed our teams in Europe, even Hibs, when they beat the Dnipro, and I backed Rangers, I backed Celtic, I backed Kilmarnock. I was tweeting about Kilmarnock during the week there. I thought it's just fantastic. If our teams in our domestic league do well in Europe, we all benefit from that. Financially, we benefit from that. Coefficient benefits from that. That means that Hearts can go into the group stages. Aberdeen have been in the group stages. So if our clubs do well, we all benefit from that because then it trickles down. The problem that we have in Scotland, we're far too busy caring about ourselves. We're very narrow-minded. We're very blinkered. And we only care about ourselves. And I see a lot of Aberdeen fans who are getting really upset and angry at the possibility of Kilmarnock putting in that request. Let's look at the bigger picture, please. For Scottish football, I mean, listen to Monty there. What it means to the fans. And they're quite happy to have the domestic fixtures on the back burner because it's something they don't get. We can have this regularly, but we need to support each other. I mean, you look at the clubs in Norway and Sweden and Finland and all over Europe. They will go out their way to help their clubs in Europe. And I think that Scotland needs to do something similar. That's all I'm saying. And I think we all benefit from it.
I think I read somewhere last night, I can't remember who tweeted it, so apologies. But it was in the last 25 years, outside Celtic and Rangers, there's only been two occasions where clubs have won their ties to get into group stages. Now,
teams have been beaten and fallen into a lower stage or whatever, but to actually win, to get through.
Yeah.
Aberdeen did it under Jimmy Calderwood, again, Dnipro, funnily enough.
That's right.
Like 20 years ago or whenever that was. And I think Hearts did it as well.
Yes, we did it.
But apart from that, it's only been twice in like 25 years that a team outside Celtic or Rangers have actually won a tie to get to a European group stage. So,
well, this is a cup final. This is a two-legged and cup final.
I know
to
you're saying about
group stages.
FC, obviously FC Copenhagen were in the Champions League last season, but I think they're having a pretty shocking time of it.
They're like mid-table just now.
Something like that, yeah. So, fingers crossed, genuinely.
I think all of Scottish football, every Scottish football fan should be back in Derek McInnes and Kilmarnock. It would just be an unbelievable story, not just for Kilmarnock, but for the game in Scotland, if they were to get through. And anything that any of us can do to help them, it should be granted. It has to be granted. And I'm calling on Aberdeen and their fans to understand that, because ultimately they can benefit from it this season. They could benefit from this season if the coefficient points keep going up and we can get ahead of Denmark and other countries, because then we get automatic qualification into Europa League Conference, etc., etc. So, listen, I think it's about time that we as a nation started to support each other when it comes to European football.
Okay, okay. Right, it's time for the shootout quiz, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, are we here now already?
Yes, we are here already. So this is the format this season that you and Cameron wanted, I'll have you know. So it is five questions, same questions for both of us. We write it down on a sheet of paper. And yeah, obviously if we need a tiebreaker, we
What's
need a tiebreaker.
What's the score? Is it 2-0 to you?
Is this the third of the season?
The third of the season.
Is it 3-0,
Is it 2-0, producer Michael?
3-0,
yes.
We've done three podcasts. No, we didn't do one for the preview show. How many league games have we played?
No, this is the...
How many league games have been played?
Two. But this is the third week, though. Because there was two games plus a League Cup, so that's
so
three.
I'm already 2-0 down?
Yeah.
Am I 2-0 down or 3-0 down?
You're 3-0 down.
Three. It was 2-0 last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've not lost this one yet. What are you talking about?
It was 2-0. It was 2-0 last week and you lost that.
Yeah. What's hot? Ewan, no, what's difficult about this?
Right, hold on.
We've had three quizzes this season and you've lost them all.
100% record.
Have you not?
No, this is only the third game of the season.
Right, okay. Right, well, no, I'm fine. No. We'll
I'm
keep
only
it.
2-0 down, you fanny.
Right, okay. No
right,
worries.
Go.
Right, anyway, producer Michael is here as Quizmaster. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Okay? How you
yes.
doing?
Yes, very
who did the questions for this today?
Me.
Oh, God.
Great. Right, go.
Great.
Okay, question number one. Falkirk beat Hearts in the League Cup at the weekend.
Really?
They last beat Hearts in the top flight in September 2008. Which recent former Rangers player scored the winner for Falkirk that day?
Timer. There's
a timer?
Yeah, there's a timer. That's the timer. Which recent former Rangers player scored the winner for Falkirk?
Which recent former
Rangers player?
I've got it.
He scored for Falkirk?
Yeah, yep. I've got it.
It's not that hard.
Oh, it is.
Well, it's not for me because I've got the answer. So.
What year are we talking?
2008. He literally said that. Really straightforward question.
It was 2-1 that day.
And this person scored the winner.
Did he play with Falkirk?
That would be a key indicator if he scored a winner for Falkirk against Rangers.
Against Hearts.
Against Hearts. Finished 2-1. 2008. September, I believe.
Right, are you
happy with your answer?
I'm not happy with
it.
Right,
you can go first and reveal your answer first then. Okay? Right, Ewan, show the camera.
Hold on, I'm just thinking, did he play with Falkirk?
The time's up. You can't
I'm not,
change
I'm
it
I'm
now.
Not changing, I've written it. Why are you... Just
come
let
on.
Me breathe a
come
wee
on.
Bit.
Come on.
Don't laugh.
Right.
I've went with...
Neil McCann. Which recent former Rangers player?
What does that mean, recent former Rangers player?
Somebody who recently played with Rangers but doesn't any longer. Neil McCann hasn't
played
with Rangers.
He scored the winner in 2008.
For Falkirk against Hearts.
Do you want me to reveal?
No, because I'm going to tell you the answer is Scott Arfield.
What recent former Rangers player?
Scott Arfield is a recent former Rangers player.
You know, he did play with Falkirk for a number of years.
And he scored the winner against Hearts in 2008, which was the question.
Do you know who also scored for Hearts that day? Or for Falkirk?
Anthony Stokes?
Neil McCann.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he scored the first. on the first
Amazing.
Goal.
Amazing. But not Great the winner. Times. Not the winner, though.
No. God, read that question to me again, because I was confused by that.
No, Ewan, it's fine. It's done. You've lost it. It's 1-0 to me. Question number two. Let's go.
Next question. Who was the sponsor on the Arsenal kit in Thierry Henry's first season?
I know this.
So do I.
What was written on the front?
Don't get it, Stephen.
What a question that is.
But don't get it, because I know this.
How do you know this?
Because I got one.
Did you?
Aye.
I hope it's this. I really hope it's this.
I got
this.
One.
Right, I'll reveal my answer first then. I went for Dreamcast.
Yeah, so did I. I went with Dreamcast as well. There it is.
Do you
down.
Have a Dreamcast?
Yeah, the Dreamcast.
Were they good?
Pish. Absolute pish. There was a Dolphin game on it. It was really good.
Echo the Dolphin.
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was the only decent game on it.
Right, question number three
oh,
then.
Oh, no, what's his name with the coins that you collect? That was good.
Oh, Ben Shepherd, Tipping Point, yeah. Right.
Okay. How many prime ministers have there been since Rangers last won the Premiership?
Oh. Timer.
All right, I've got an answer.
I've got an answer as well. Shoot, you go first.
Oh no, it's that or that. Oh no, what have I done?
Time's running out, Ewan.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fairly confident on this. Fairly confident. Go on, Ewan. Time's
how, long's how long's left?
2 seconds. One.
Have you got an answer?
Yep.
Right.
Fair
two.
Enough.
What question was this? Was this question three or five?
Question three.
And I'm 1-0 down?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's 2-1, but yes.
2-1.
Right, Ewan, reveal your answer, please.
Go and give me the question again before I reveal my answer.
How many UK prime ministers have there been since Rangers last won the Premiership?
I've got two answers.
Well, you need to give one.
Narrow it down, please.
So the bigger one is my answer. The one that I've circled was my initial answer.
Right, okay, right, sure.
So the answer that I have gone for is five, but I thought it might have been four.
I have gone for four.
Oh, for
I have gone for Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, Rishi Sunak and Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
So that's another point to me there, Ewan. It's me 3-1 up.
Look what I've written down. Look what I've written down.
Aye, but you.
Look at that. Look at that.
You didn't have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah, exactly. So the state of play is as follows. I'm leading 3-1. I need to get both of the next questions wrong, and Ewan needs to get them right just to take it to a tiebreak.
So let me just think here for a second.
He should know these, in fairness.
Shh. So let me just think. So if we just go normal, and we both get it right, it'll be 4-2.
Are we doing top bins?
Yeah,
you have
top
bins.
I hand you the win.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to go for a normal question.
Yeah, I'm going to go normal as well. Boring. So it'll be 4-2,
right.
And then I'll have to go for the top bin.
Right, okay.
Right, go.
Okay.
Normal question.
You have to get it right, though.
Question number four.
Big pressure on you here, Ewan.
Right, Stephen, I'm aware of the situation.
No, I'm just saying
why do you have to underline everything? Or put an exclamation mark on everything?
I'm just saying the heat is on you here, because if
Stephen, I don't need you to tell me.
Because if I get it right and you get it wrong, then
Stephen,
that's it.
Do you think I can do maths?
Well,
right. There's extra pressure. It's a harsh question.
There's a harsh question.
Michael.
Yes.
You're here to ask questions. We're not here for you to pitch in or fucking banter or waffle. You're here to ask questions. That's it.
Wow.
Do your job and then move on.
So what's funny? On my script, it says, please welcome the host. So that seems like me.
He's the host. Be nice to the host.
Thank you.
Yeah, question. He's not hosting. He's been a prick.
Question number four.
Question number four.
You can be both.
As you have played for many years.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Right, go.
Okay, in what year did Hearts last win a major honour? So, like, winning the Scottish Championship doesn't count. It's not a major honour.
So, either the League Cup or Scottish Cup?
Correct.
Okay.
What was the last year they won that?
Oh.
my God.
I mean, this would be really embarrassing if you got this one wrong, Ewan, because this is a Hearts question. And bearing in mind that you need to get it right, otherwise the quiz is done.
Should have been the best day of his life as well.
Yeah.
I am.
And I can tell you right now, I've got this right.
I am.
So memorable.
I wish I'd gone for a top bin question now.
Right.
But I've got an answer.
Ready with your answers. I'll go first with my answer, which is 2012.
Oh, thank God. I've gone 2012 as well.
Okay.
Right, I need to go top bin here.
4-2. So you get your top bin question.
To go 4-4.
To go 4-4, and then I'll have a question to win it.
Yeah. Go on.
Okay.
Question 5, top bin for 2 points.
Top bin, okay. Mark Viduka is a distant cousin of a player who has won the Ballon d'Or. Who is it? Think about it.
Shut up, Michael. Shut up, Michael. No clues.
He's a
timer
distant
on, please.
Cousin. Oh, no, it's not him. I was going to put Maradona. That's not.
I think I know the answer to this question.
Distant cousin of Mark Viduka. I have an answer. You can start the timer because I'm not going to sit on this all day because I've not got a clue. But the only one it's no Ronaldo. It's no Messi.
So you need to get this right, otherwise I've won the quiz. Get the Champions League music ready.
No, don't, because I think I might have got a good chance of getting this right.
Okay, so you reveal your answer, please.
The answer that I've gone with is Luka Modric.
That's who I wrote down.
Oh, Ewan! Ewan!
4-4!
Get it! 4-4! You need to get this right to win the quiz, or it's going to be a tie break.
Fine. I might just deliberately get it wrong and then beat you.
No, don't. No, you play the game. Play the game.
Right, normal question for me, please, Michael.
Okay. Who did Craig Levein manage directly before the Scotland job?
No!
Timer, please. Timer, please.
Oh, you don't need a timer.
I need to think about this one.
It's like handing up the result on a plate.
It's a normal question.
Oh, it's a normal question. It's a fucking easy question. A 5-year-old could get this right.
Wait, then I want to make sure I've got the... Oh, look, he's got his wee pouch. He's got his pouch.
He's getting this right.
No, I just need to think about it. So, Craig Levein, directly before he managed Scotland...
I concede. There you go.
What do you mean you concede?
I concede. You don't even need to give me your answer. I concede. I've lost. Play the fucking Champions League music for
him. Right, I've got an answer, Michael. I'm going to go for Dundee United. And that means yet another victory on the quiz for me. Play the strings. Thank you to everyone for all your support.
Who do you think you are?
Over the last
week. Play the strings.
Well, listen to the strings.
You're not 14.
What do you mean?
Who do you think you are? You know the young team. Play the strings.
What do you mean?
You're not on TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok.
You're a fucking 39-year-old man.
I'm not 39.
Well, what are you?
35.
Well, you're... close.
Right, I mean, no. Well, anyway, thank you. You're interrupting my speech. So thank you to everyone for all your support.
Oh my God.
My
Producer
friends,
Michael,
my family.
Have you ever seen anyone support him for the quiz? Have you seen anyone on social media?
Yep.
He has name.
Loads of folk.
I've yet to see any
loads of folk.
See the comments on YouTube. I don't see anyone going, well, I support that Stephen Mill. You're making up his bullshit.
No, it's not.
Show me evidence. Show me evidence.
I get lots of DMs from people just
DMs
saying, you know,
ass.
Lots
I
of people. Right,
bye,
Ewan. Bye, Ewan. Nice doing a podcast with you. Bye. See you later. See you next week. All the best. Right, hit the end of the music and we can all go home. Thank you very much to Ewan Cameron there. And thank you to you for listening, for watching, wherever you do, on YouTube, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all your podcast places. If you fancy leaving us a big, fat, juicy 5 stars and a wee comment, that would be nice as well. And, of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel and you will get a notification whenever the podcast goes live every single Monday. So, remember, you can get in touch for overrated, underrated, overrated this week. Fans clapping substitutes, according to Ewan Cameron. And get in touch as well with your questions for the Mass Footballer. We are homing in on who that might be. You can get in touch at Big Football Scott and also on our YouTube comments as well. But that is it from us. We are back next week with another Big Scottish Football podcast. Enjoy your week, everyone, and cheery bye for now. Bye-bye.